The website for podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Pepe Special, what is that, Bernie?
Oh.
I didn't tell you I was going to do that. Chicken enchiladas of some kind.
It was the red or green chili chicken enchiladas.
And if you didn't hear that, it's red or green chili chicken enchiladas. Okay, that was important. Now we're going to start the second hour of the show with the History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her moment today is about a Border Christmas poem in the local newspaper.
Merry Christmas, friends. William J. Hooten was editor of the El Paso Times and author of the popular Everyday Events column. In December of 1948, he received a poem written partially in Spanish and English from an unknown reader, entitled Merry Christmas, Amigos. Hooten was so pleased with this poem that the El Paso Times ran it every Christmas Eve until his retirement in 1969. Here is a sample of the poem. 'Tis the night before Christmas, and all through the casa, not a creature is stirring. Caramba, qué pasa? The stockings are hanging con mucho cuidado, in hopes that St. Nicholas will feel obligado to leave a few cosas aquí and allí for chico y chica and something for me. Happy holidays for the El Paso History Alliance. El Paso History Moments and the El Paso History Show.
You know what happens next? A little more for the reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah. Cheech and Chong's Christmas. That was very nice. And
yes,
that was very good of you to do that. And that's, you do that for the Alliance?
History? Yes, the History Alliance, we do that. And we have over 45,000 followers on their Facebook page, and probably a lot more than that, I'll tell you. And if you're interested in getting involved in the History Alliance, or you have some history you're interested in sharing, call Bernie Sargent.
Yay!
And if you don't want to call him today, you can call him at home at 581-7920, which is our home office number. And you can also, we'd like to also mention a great partner, which is in history work, and that's Barbara Gibbon-Baney, who's the operator of the great Facebook page called Remember in El Paso When, where you can go and see an archived pictures galore and just some all great information that they've got out there.
Good crowd there. They got a lot of people working with her. She could always use more. Get a hold of her on that page. One of the people that works with her quite a bit is Nick Prime. Another person that is a moderator is Jim Carlton. And it's a great resource for El Paso history. Remember in El Paso When, that's on Facebook. Now, we're on Facebook at the El Paso History Radio Show.
Yeah, and I posted and you got Mr. Sargent.
Oh, Bernie's already up there?
Yes, he's up there with his buddy Poncho.
Stuck him on the wall, did you?
Yes.
That's cool. All right, Bernie is still here.
I am.
Yeah, you seem to be. And so it goes with the history of El Paso. We're trying to get through all of El Paso in 2 hours, and the only way to do that is to leave something out or not tell everything about everything.
There's so much.
You can never do it.
So much.
So we're going backwards to the 1840s?
Yeah, sure.
What do you got?
Well, hold on. I'll catch up with you. I wanted to make a comment, too, that one of the accusations that have been pointed in my direction is I'm only interested in a cowboy gunfight West. And if you look at that list, there's no mention whatsoever of the Old West gunfights that took place in El Paso.
Well, they were a major part of the history. You have done quite a bit as one of the instigators known as Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
Yes.
And you have brought a lot of history to people who didn't have it before.
12 straight years, most outstanding Western reenactment group. By True West Magazine.
True West Magazine. That's not a minor thing because they cover the country.
Several hundred thousand readers.
And so you guys have been doing that forever, so you get that sort of like that title.
Yeah.
He's the gunfighter guy. So Leon was kind of like that, too.
Yeah.
But Leon branched out, and then you've branched out even much, much more. Because, I mean, you were at the Historical Commission. You guys put historical markers all over the place.
Everywhere.
And you got this woman over here doing stuff.
Yes, I do have that woman
there. It's funny because people say that. But, you know, the ironic thing is if you look back through history at that time, there was a lot of that going all over the place in the United States as well as in Mexico. Mexico had their gunfighters throughout there and their desperados and banditos and such. So, you know, a lot of people forget about that. It was a time period.
Well, the comparison we get a lot is Tombstone versus El Paso. Mm-hmm. And they got the better movie. We had a movie, but it wasn't as famous.
No.
And their gunfight history was nowhere near what El Paso's was. And Hardin was, what, 1895? That was in August?
Yes.
Okay,
August
so
1895.
I will bring up the gunfighters. How about that?
That's fine.
Now, back up into the 1840s. 1840s set the stage for a lot of stuff that ended up happening in El Paso. You got, well, one of the biggies is not even really always known as an event, but it was a general thing, and that was the gold rush.
Yes.
And people coming from east to west came through El Paso quite a bit to get there.
The 49ers.
And that was a big deal for, like, okay, how do we get there? I don't know. Where's El Paso? Who cares? Let's go.
What's the best route to go?
Yeah, and it, how are you going to get there otherwise? Because otherwise going through the middle of New Mexico is not going to work.
Or Donner Pass.
Or Colorado.
Yeah, not a good thing.
No, don't go there.
But that was another reason why we grew so fast, and a lot of people came through here, and they stopped and stayed.
And you had 1850, a population in El Paso of 200 people.
Yeah.
And in the post opposite El Paso, Del Norte was established in 1849. Right about where the plaza is downtown, San Jacinto Plaza.
They'd actually rented some property from Ponce de Leon.
So a rail line was taken a look at in 1854, military posts in McGoffinsville, named Fort Bliss finally for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The stage went through, as we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But as you're going backwards here, you have the 1846 adventure, Doniphan.
Yes.
And that was a biggie.
That was a real biggie. Well, we've got a street named after him. And few people, you know, we've talked about this before, but not a lot of people know Doniphan's history. It's quite stellar in itself. I mean, they know about the battle that took place in Vado, just north of El Paso, on Christmas morning when the Mexican soldiers, having recuperating from adult beverages and libation the night before,
it's Christmas.
they weren't really in the mood to fight. And Doniphan pulled some fast ones on them because they were outgunned and outmanned by the Mexican army. But they managed to pull off a victory and cause the Mexican troops to hasten south.
That was Brazito.
Battle of Brazito.
Battle of Brazito.
Yeah. So that worked out well. But Doniphan, although that most people know him for that, also has a lot of recognition to what he did with the Mormon church in Missouri. He was third in command of the militia. Now, following the War of 1812, there was a little bit of trepidation in the country about having a national military. So the U.S. was depending a lot on the states to create their own militias. In the event they needed their help, they could pull them up and they could fight battles, you know, with other states as a unified army. Well, in Missouri, the militia was had a commanding general, and Doniphan was third in command. Well, when the Mormon church moved and they thought St. Joe, Missouri was the ultimate place for them to camp and create their new movement, the people of the different churches weren't comfortable with that religion. And so they put a lot of pressure on the governor of Missouri to force the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, out of Missouri. And to that end, it was passed down to Alexander Doniphan to eliminate the leadership, which could be taken a couple of different ways.
Who told him to do that?
Yes.
That came from the governor.
Oh.
He, on the other hand, being a lawyer and a minister—
He wasn't Mormon.
He wasn't Mormon.
Okay.
He elected to work with the leadership of the Mormon church, who were in jail, released them under the auspices that within 48 to 72 hours, that whole congregation had to leave Missouri and head west. So they did, and they ended up in Salt Lake City. Now, to this day, the Latter-day Saints pay tribute to Doniphan for saving their movement.
Did he escort them or just get them?
No, he just got them out.
He just sprung them loose.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's cool. Take off and go.
Yeah. All right, also in El Paso, that was in that was 1846, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was also the same time the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo hit the fan. And what was the big deal about that? I mean, that was the big treaty, wasn't it?
It was a big treaty. And we ended up with the rest of Texas, as we know it today, all the way to the Rio Grande River. Up to that point, there was some concern because the feeling Andrew Jackson had and his predecessors was that when we bought the land from Mexico earlier after the 1836 battle, that our property rights went all the way to the Rio Grande, but Mexico had a different opinion of it, and they felt it was only the Red River. So we, in turn, with the Treaty of Hidalgo, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, ended up with the land all the way to the Rio Grande, including portions of what's now Arizona, New Mexico, and California. And we bought the land. We didn't take it from them. We bought it. They negotiated the price with us, and it was a purchase that was, at that time, considered a fair deal.
So backing up from that, you had people on the Camino Real basically doing trading all the way. And New Mexico turned into Mexico. It was 1821? give or take, when they defeated the Spaniards.
Yeah.
And so they then began to run Mexican convoys up there, mm-hmm. caravans. Mm-hmm. But all that, the Camino Real was never inactive. They were people all the time during that 1800s doing stuff between Mexico City and the Santa Fe area.
You go back even further than the natives that lived along the Rio Grande used it as a footpath, a trade route.
Oh, before the Spanish.
Yeah,
oh,
before
yeah.
the Spanish. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they followed that trail when they established the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro.
So the that whole era of the early 1820s, Ponce's Ranch began on the north side of the river. When was that?
1827. Yeah, he got a land grant and permission from the leadership of Mexico, from the state of Chihuahua, to develop that ranch.
So that was a Mexican land grant on the north side of the Rio Grande?
Correct.
Not Spanish?
Correct.
Okay.
And to that end, in 1829, there was a massive flood that covered most of the buildings. And so he went back and asked for more land so he could create something that was somewhat safe. And that land was called the Land of Wild Goats at one time,
really?
On the north side of the river. But, he went back and petitioned. He got more land. So he created the ranch approximately where the Plaza Theater Camino Real Hotel are right now. And that's where his ranch was. Now, the original ranch location was in what we refer to as Duranguito, in that area there, which if you go back into the 1700s, there was an Apache peace camp there. The Apaches were had claim to the land east of the Rio Grande River from Big Bend all the way up to where we are today. But they were being chased by the Comanches. And so they were looking for some peace and quiet. Now, the Apaches could hold their own, but the Comanches were a different tribe. And so they were constantly badgering the Apaches. The Apaches went to the Spanish leadership in Coahuila and that area. They turned them down for support. They came up here and they petitioned the governor of Chihuahua for some land where they could set up peacefully and get some nourishment, some help with food stuff and so on. And so they got that, and that was land on the north side of the Rio Grande River, and they set up that camp, and they were there for a couple of years. But they historically were, let's say, uneasy. And when they would disappear to go hunting, the Mexican military got nervous about what they were doing.
Yeah, who were they hunting?
They were hunting buffalo. They were hunting.
That's what they were saying, but the Mexicans were a little concerned. They were hunting people.
Yeah. So anyway, they were pretty nervous about that. So it wasn't until the late 1700s when they were actually they disappeared from the border area and retreated up into the mountains and other areas of New Mexico territory.
Back in that era, also we had the Mission Trail going, but. You have down here 1840 Socorro Mission rebuilt. Is that when they moved it?
Yeah. Well, it had been flooded in also.
Yeah.
There was a major flood that washed it out, so they rebuilt it in 1840 is when they rebuilt it. And we believe that's like the third location for the mission, and that's where it is today.
It's really nice. I was down there about 2 weeks ago. I went through all three of the churches, and two are missions and one isn't. We know that.
Presidio.
But it was, Presidio Chapel. And they were all open on a Monday morning, but there was nobody around, so we just walked through and looked at them. It was kind of neat. But also other stuff that you've got down here. Zebulon Pike was the first English-speaking Anglo that came through here in 1807. He didn't come through here in a polite fashion, did he?
No, he was under arrest.
He was in chains. And
he was considered
up.
A spy. By the military, the Mexicans.
No, we're going backwards. This is 1807.
Yeah. He was up in Santa Fe when they captured him. And actually, there was a long story how he ended up getting captured. But he was brought down here. By the time he got here, he had placated any concerns, so to speak. And they actually unbound him. And he became somewhat of a friend of the escort that he was being taken by.
Did he also keep a diary that made it to somewhere?
He had a very extensive journal.
Yeah.
And in the journal, he mentions that when he came into the area we now know as the Rio Grande Canyon by Cristo Rey, as far as the eye could see, the river was lined with vineyards. And he thought that was just amazing to see the vineyards. But if you look at the history of wine vintners in the United States, in North America, this area here was quite similar to areas of Europe where a lot of the missionaries, a lot of the clergy came from. So they were bringing grape stocks with them, and they would replant them. Now, they replanted them, and the wine was so popular and it was so good that a lot of the clergy were selling it to support building more churches, supplying the schools, the necessary things they needed to Catholicize the people that lived in the area.
Well, also they had apricot brandy was big.
So they did this, and it was so good and it was so well received that nobody was buying the Spanish wine. So the Spanish monarchy said, "Thou shalt not sell your wine anymore."
Uh-huh.
And
you shall not cut in our profits.
There you go. So
they had to drink it all themselves. Those padres.
So the I use the term. They didn't want to do that because they couldn't sell the Spanish wine. It wasn't that popular.
It wasn't very good.
No. So they continued selling the local wine under the altar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Under the altar?
Under the altar instead of under the table. It was under the altar. Yeah.
Okay. I think I understood that.
I know.
Look out. Okay. But all that was going on, in case you're wondering, we're going to El Paso history. We started now and we're going backwards just to see how we got here. We're trying to do El Paso history in 2 hours. We're not going to make it.
No.
We'll cover some of the
James Wiley Goffin came through here in 1830. That's another
comment. That was his first trade?
That was his first trade through
here. That's
very
early.
It is, yeah. He came through and along with the McGoffins. They became traders also.
Well, he was a big deal in the Chihuahua. The Santa Fe Trail, what were we? We were the Chihuahua Trail.
We were the Chihuahua Trail.
The Santa Fe Trail went the one that went to Missouri.
It went to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
But I mean from Missouri.
And then over to Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, McGoffins came through with James Wiley in the 1840s. But there were some, preliminary exploration done by James Wiley McGoffin.
Okay. We should probably break here and take a break.
You want to do that?
But I also want to thank the people in the control room. We got some interesting people in there. Let's stir them up here.
That's
Shelley,
right.
Shelley is on the telephone, Wurlitzer.
Yes.
Shelley Sutherland. Yay!
Yay,
Shelley. And there's a guy in there pushing electrons out the door. His name is
Sergio Valenzuela.
Or something like that. Now, we had a conflict last week. We had a Sergio and we have
Sergio.
So we went through that and I'd say, hey, Sergio. And Lewis would show up, and there was two in the control room. They look around like, "You talking to me?"
There's a whole bunch of are you talking to?
A whole bunch of Sergios there. Well, anyway, thank you guys for what you do in the control room, and we shall now take a break after we do trivia.
We shall do trivia.
You have trivia?
Yes, I do.
What'd you make up this time?
I made up some fun ones here.
What do you
okay,
got?
What award did El Paso's Six Guns and Shady Ladies win again from True West Magazine?
Was it the 12th year? Yes, it was.
Oh, it was 12th year. Okay.
I happen to know how it got into El Paso Inc. also.
Oh, I know. I had to think about that for a moment. Okay, and the second question is, what road in El Paso is named for a colonel from the Mexican-American War?
You're just giving stuff away.
I'm trying, dang
Merry
it.
Merry Christmas.
I'm trying.
Okay,
Merry
so you
Christmas.
Got this question about this road.
The road.
And the other one is about
six guns. It's about
six guns
and shady ladies. What awards have they worn where somebody appreciates them?
Why not say so? Because you guys worked hard at that, and your paychecks
22,
are very
22 years?
Few and far between.
23
and 2020,
give
yes.
Give or take, it'll be 24. And so let's take a break, but also call us if you
give
want.
Give us a call.
You have to answer these questions by calling us.
Yes, that's right.
And what do you get?
I'm sorry. I forgot all about that. $20 in food from
Amigos. Amigos.
Amigos.
Amigos.
Amigos. Amigos. Amigos.
Amigos. To Amigos.
Whoever you're going to go.
Hey, where are you going to go? I'm going to go.
And I'm going to go.
Shut up.
I know. You're going to really confuse him now.
It's on Montana.
Got a new sponsor. Amigos. Or you can go to
get on your hollow
Mission
statue.
Mission Del Rey Southwest, hey, a $20 gift certificate.
The guy's name is Hookie, Captain Hookie to you.
Captain
okay?
Hookie.
Call him Captain. Anyway, all that's going on?
Call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Okay. Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
want military-grade gear delivered directly to your doorstep?
Join over 250,000 customers already geared up with Crate Club, the box built by Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force, and Special Ops guys. You'll receive seasonal tactical and survival gear essentials to be better prepared at home and on the road, and a digital subscription to our community. Products include backpacks, helmets, hammocks, holsters, vests, and more kick-ass gear. Get it for yourself or gift something unique this year. Rise above the ranks at CrateClub.com. That's CrateClub.com.
You really do need new windows, but you fear the unknown.
How much will it cost?
You go on living with noise from the street, dust and allergens, and draftiness letting in cold outside air. Come out from the shadows. Get a free in-home estimate from Dreamstyle Windows and Doors. We promise you an exact price quote by tomorrow, valid for a year. And you'll be relieved at how affordable it really is. America's number one remodeling company, Dreamstyle Remodeling, routinely delivers the best home improvement experience. The proof is our 4.8-star rating from more than 4,000 online reviews. For a limited time, buy one window or door and get one at 40% off. No money down and no payments or interest for 12 months. It's more affordable than you think. Schedule your free in-home consultation now. Call 915-975-6626 or visit DreamStyleWindows.com. 915-975-6626 or DreamStyleWindows.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text RESULT to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text RESULT to 79645. That's RESULT to 79645.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, Melissa, I got a trivia question for you. What happens if you go to 2000 Montana?
You go to Amigos.
Amigos! That's true. Okay. We're going to get to that in a second. Amigos, that's a great place to go. I ate there yesterday. I get what's called
there a lot.
I do. At least once a week if I can.
Do you do the dishes?
No, I do the credit card.
Oh, okay.
See, I'm at the other end of that chain. I help the dishes occur.
Yes.
By making them dirty and giving them money.
I've been there many meetings, gone there for lunch. Many meetings, dinner meetings.
Oh, all kinds of people. They had all kinds of room up there. They are very unusual. It's an old house that they tore up and turned it. There's two great meeting places right in the middle of there.
Yeah,
and you can book them. Just call them up. And get into there. It's really cool. All right, let's tell you who's coming here next week, December 28th.
Who's coming?
We've got the Las Cruces author named David Thomas.
Yes.
This is not the guy with the hamburgers. This is the guy going to discuss New Mexico history about killing Pat Garrett.
That's a good book. I'm reading it.
Are you reading it right now?
Yeah, about halfway through it.
The Wild West Mountains Famous Lawman, Murder or Self-Defense by David Thomas. So he'll be in here. And what's going to be interesting to see is he's going to bring a couple of guys. They have a festival. Now, Pat Garrett was apparently killed on Leap Day.
Mm-hmm.
So he only gets
every 4 years.
here's one coming in 2020.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a big event in Las Cruces with that going on. They're going to bring some guys in here to explain all that.
Oh, cool.
And it'll be a big deal.
All right.
He was killed on a Leap Day on a barren stretch of road. between his home ranch and Las Cruces.
Well, they've been doing a lot to try to promote Pat Garrett and that history up in Las Cruces, so I hope it's very successful.
Well, we'll do what we can to help him.
Yes.
January the 4th, get this, Rick Kern's going to show up.
Ricky!
And he's going to bring some music history from the days of Bobby Fuller, stories, music clips, and he's going to bring some other people with him as well, and phone calls galore. Sam Stevenson is coming in with him. January 11th, Centennial Director and Museum Director Daniel Carey Whalen reintroduced the exhibit, The Town and the Smelter. That's up there right now. You could go up there today and take a look at that. It's a Sarco and the community of Smeltertown, La Esmelda. They were symbiotically connected and left a lasting impact on the borderland. Centennial Museum, Wiggins, and University on the campus, 10 to 4:30. They're open today. Hour 2 that day, this is where the Hamiltons come in. Both John and his wife Vicky are coming in. They're going to be our guests to describe the mural on the wall in the old William Beaumont Hospital. Apparently, it needs to be saved.
Yeah.
I said, let me see a picture. I haven't seen it yet. But both of the Hamiltons have been in helping preserve and promote Fort Bliss history for many years, and they both think this is a good idea.
Oh, they're both great people.
So what do you got?
Well, the McGoffin home is still dressed for the holidays, so you might want to take family and friends that are visiting over to take a look at that. Plus, they've got vinyasa-style yoga classes the second and fourth Saturdays of every month. And on first Saturday of every month, they got cooking classes. January 8th, Brain Trust Bag Lunch Lecture Series is going, and they're going to have a birthday party for Joseph McGoffin. So if you want to drop in for a piece of cake, please do. And if you'd like to know more information, either go to their Facebook page, McGoffin Home Facebook page, or call Gloria Garza at 533-5147.
Way to go there. Hey, we got some callers lined up. We got three of them. We actually have enough stuff to give away to everybody. We got Bruce, Robert, and Ed in that order. Ooh. Going right now to Bruce. Hey, Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Okay, which question were you able to answer on? Let's go with that one. It's easier.
I didn't listen to the whole show.
You're fired.
I can do the one about the street and the colonel.
Okay, and so what street is that?
So Donovan has the best tortillas factory in town. And
don't forget Pepe's. Pepe's is at 6761 Donovan.
That's right. That's one of my wife and I, every Saturday we do what we call a Donovan date. So.
Oh, you pick a restaurant. Pepe's, I'll be there today if you want to show up about 12:30. We'll see you there.
All right.
Anything else on your mind? Did you pick a prize? It's Amigos.
Yeah, it's Amigos, or it's the Mission Del Rey Southwest coupon.
Which one's closer to the west side?
Donovan. Yeah, there you go. That's closer.
Well, do you want to eat or do you want to buy gifts? There's the question. Yeah. But the gifts are Mission Del Rey. They're at Lee Trevino and Pelicano.
Oh, we got family coming in. Let's do the gifts thing.
I told you. That's what you need to think about. And not only do you want to go get some stuff and give it to them, but when they already got their stuff, take them out there and let them buy stuff that they didn't get from you.
There you go. That'll work out.
And I got to tell you, there is a lot of stuff in that store.
Oh, it's
you'll be amazed.
Stuff.
And stop by you can't miss the jewelry. You walk in and you think it's a tiny little jewelry shop. Then you realize there's a hallway to the left and a hallway to the right. They go around the back and it gets huge. So there.
Hey, here's a secret.
What do you got?
You're going to get the certificate, go there with your family, and you use your certificate, and you tell the family to reference the radio show, and they will get a discount.
There you go. And it'll all work out really great, Bruce. You're all set, okay?
All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Hold on. Thanks here. Shelly will tell you how to pick that up. All right. We lost Ed. Ed, you're fired anyway. Let's go to Robert. Robert's still here. Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Talk to Melissa.
Can you answer the first question?
Which was, pardon?
Unfortunately, I didn't guess the first question. So.
I think he's locked in the trunk.
Where are you?
What's going on here?
I said I didn't hear the first question.
Well, ask him the first question.
What award did Six Guns and Shady Ladies win by True West magazine?
I wouldn't know that. I knew Colonel Donovan who won the Battle of.
Had Donovan. Okay, but let's try to coach him.
Do you know what? Let me ask. Okay.
We're going to give this
since
to you knows, if you'll answer it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Answer this question. I'll say, since you were listening about Colonel Donovan, do you know what the name of the battle was that he won?
Yeah, the Battle of Bazica.
There we go.
That's not the question, but you get the answer.
But he can answer that. Okay.
All right, so you got your choice of either a Mission Del Rey certificate or Amigos food.
Oh, I'll take the Mission Del Rey.
Mission Del Rey. You got to go out there.
I got to give a gift too. So.
And they're open today until 5. And if you walk in and say, you can't use the coupon.
Yeah, you won't be able to get the coupon.
You got to come pick the coupon up at the station.
Yeah, they're kind of tight
but,
that way.
But and if anybody else wants, they're open until 5 today. And you walk in and say, hey, that radio guy said you'd give me some stuff if I asked for it. And to see what happens. And in the meantime.
All right.
In the meantime, Robert. Hold on, and Shelly will tell you how to pick up his coupon, all right?
All right. I look forward to hearing Rick Kearns because I went to his club at the same time he did, and my sister had Bobby Fuller sign her annual.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, she went to high school with him. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh,
on January 4th, we're going to talk about all that old music in El Paso. All right, hold on here.
All right.
Oh, hold on, Robert. Thanks for playing here.
Thanks for
Shelly, you got a winner over here. We got Mission Del Rey coming out the door here. And you know what? That's a fabulous thing to do. You get out there and you realize, oh, my God, they weren't kidding. This place is full of
and
stuff.
And see, people should never hang up because you never know. It might get a chance at winning something. So.
Oh, yeah, we usually have an extra Mission Del Rey coupon. And today we're in good shape. Okay, when we're going to Pepe's, all three of us?
Yes.
Okay. This crowd's going to Pepe's. We can talk more history. In the meantime, we need to take a break. And you said Bernie's up on Facebook already.
Yes, he's posted.
You got him plastered up. You
know, I plastered him.
We had, well, that was.
Or he plastered?
You additionally plastered him, perhaps. But
he may be plastered later.
We had over 8,000 people looking at that on Facebook.
Wow.
Reached with that promo. That's pretty good stuff. Listen.
Well, I hope they're satisfied with what they've heard so far.
They all turned off. No, they're gone. No, in fact, one of them, about 20% of them show up at Pepe's to see
like
what happens.
I like the picture of him hovering over the old El Paso.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that.
Wouldn't that different? You saw how I floated Bernie in.
Yeah, I know.
Now, that was a. That's
like a spoke.
Who shot that picture of Bernie? That was.
Lewis Woodyard.
That was Lewis.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a great photographer.
I gave him credit. I wasn't totally sure.
Yeah.
How did he make you turn black and white? Was this. Did it hurt? Did that hurt?
Oh, it did.
Oh, I bet.
It did, yeah. The pens, the felt tip pen.
Enough of this. Yeah. We should go take a break and come back and talk
Bernie
more.
Godzilla over
taking
El Paso.
A break and coming back with more history. The phone number would be
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free. El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Hey there, it is Ryan Seacrest. iHeartRadio is teaming up with YouTubers from around the world for hashtag Team Trees to help raise $20 million to plant 20 million trees by January 1st. This is one of the biggest community-driven campaigns YouTube has ever seen, with YouTube creators coming together to do something positive for the planet and ending the decade on a high note. Here's how it works. $1 equals one tree. Donate to the hashtag Team Trees campaign at teamtrees.org and on participating YouTube channels using the donate button. Visit teamtrees.org. Today.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 200 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text SCHOOL to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU 5th in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 88% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online Degrees, text SCHOOL to 35517. That's SCHOOL to 35517.
El Paso's coolest winter event is back.
Winterfest, presented by the Hospital of Providence and Providence Children's Hospital, is open now through January 5th.
Enjoy ice skating at the Arts Festival Plaza in downtown El Paso and relax in the Texas Gas Service Warming Tent.
Enjoy tasty treats by delicious Mexican eatery in the Holiday Cafe and more.
It's free to see and only $8 to skate. Open 7 days a week.
Season passes are also available.
Buy tickets at the rink or buy tickets in advance and get more info at epwinterfest.com.
From iHeartRadio, number one for podcasts. Service.
We honor our veterans and Gold Star family members on service. Stories of hunger and war.
Thanksgiving, I was on KP. The sergeant says, let's do something special.
World War II veterans are sharing their holiday memories and more on Service. Stories of hunger and war.
I wanted to get back to California for Thanksgiving.
I come home on a train 5 days before Christmas.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a five-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, national dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mvvans.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
What is going on in that control room? Hey, this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Why the FBI is investigating an El Paso healthcare company.
Also in the Inc., the El Paso teens garnering national attention for their business selling pricey kicks.
The official 2018 Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl Guide.
And that's not a cereal bowl. It's great, as Bernie says. El Paso's Business Journal is El Paso, Inc., available for home or business delivery.
For a limited time, gift a free subscription to El Paso, Inc. this holiday season at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, a Border Patrol tactical dog is the first ever killed in the line of duty. Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, a look at the role, training, and impact of canine law enforcement.
Join host Saul Sines for ABC Extra, Sunday night at 10:35 p.m.
Going forward to history, we run into Bernie Sargent.
Here he is.
And the 1800s, we sort of did. 1700s, you had all kinds of things going on in here, but it was mostly through here. You had a lot of Camino Real activity, but not so much occurring right around here, was there?
In the 1700s?
Yeah.
No, other than the missions. Well, the Apaches.
They were ongoing.
They were ongoing, yeah.
Yeah, and so the Apaches were kicking up, and so that's where the military had to end up showing up here.
Uh-huh.
But you had, in 1790, the Mescalero Apaches approached the Spanish, and the Spanish, what they tried to do was basically buy off the Indians, wasn't it?
They were trying to keep them at ease and comfortable and so on, so they didn't have to.
Give them food, blankets.
They didn't have to be on the defensive so much anyway.
So that as we're dialing back the history toward the beginning of El Paso history, they built the Presidio San Elizario. What was it, 1788 you have here?
Yeah, that's when the governor of Chihuahua sent out notes looking for adobe for the building of the Presidio.
It had been elsewhere, and they moved it to be closer to the El Paso area.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had two of them. They had one south of Juarez, to present-day Juarez. They had a Presidio down there also.
Were there a lot of Indians down that way?
Yeah.
Because then we never hear about that. Why don't we talk about those?
No, we don't. Maybe we should get Ben Brown to come in and talk about that. He might be able to cover that.
That's right.
History.
He's a Scotsman from India.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
He's an Englishman, but he was pretty much raised in the United States.
Well, he knows about those Indians.
He does. He teaches in Juarez.
Okay, dialing backwards in further down into the 1600s, that was when you have the stuff. The Socorro Mission was actually founded with the Isleta Mission. They're like a day apart, right?
Yeah, they are.
They went down river, so here's one. Tomorrow we'll do another one.
Well, I think the original concept was to have all the Indians after the revolt up in northern New Mexico.
That was 1680.
Right. To be together and live in cohesion. It didn't work. So they kind of split up the Manzo, Piro, Tiwa, Apache, all those tribes and had them kind of based around certain missions.
Well, the Isleta missions was basically for the Tiguas.
Mm-hmm.
But the Socorro Mission was for the Piros and something called Tom Piros.
Tom Piros, yeah.
Tom Piros. I don't really understand all that. But when the Spanish came to 1680, Pueblo Revolt, mm-hmm. you had all the people up in northern New Mexico who were Spanish. They had the guns. They had the locals build the missions all over the Albuquerque area. And there were like 19 tribes up there that ended up getting sovereignty out of this.
Yes.
But in the meantime, when you had them all going the first time, that many tribes rose up against the Spanish. In 1680, August 10th, daybreak, they all got up at the same time. They all knew how to do it. They had been coordinated. They kicked the Spanish out. They killed them. They shot them. They burned them.
It was nasty.
It was just to kill them as best you can. And so the Spaniards ran refuge into several of the missions up there. And after several weeks of negotiations, the Indians let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was the Spaniards then hauled down to El Paso as fast as they could. It took them 3 months walking,
mm-hmm.
and they cleaned out all kinds of things on their way down the river, because down river had no idea there'd been a Spanish revolt or a Pueblo revolt
until
the Spanish roll in and say, hey, grab your stuff and we're leaving.
Yes.
What was the stuff?
The stuff that they were bringing with them?
The stuff from the churches.
Yes, all the relics, the artifacts, the idolatry that they had. Idolatry? All of the...
no.
No, idols. No.
Idols, yeah. Okay.
Pick a different word.
I know, wrong word. But, they were bringing with them everything they could.
And that became the stuff that supposedly went in the Lost Padre mine, if you mm-hmm. believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So backing up even further, talk about 1598 and Don Juan showing up. That was big.
Yeah, there was an effort that was done by a Spaniard in Mexico who, along with several hundred individuals, men, women, and children, some were conscripted, some were volunteer military, some were farmers, ranchers. They headed north out of Mexico looking for the land of their dreams, so to speak. And Juan de Oñate was looking for riches and wealth, which was typical of leadership of those kinds of expeditions. He was also looking, along with the clergy, for proselytizing the natives along the way and trying to find silver, gold, riches, again, that they could find. Interesting thing is Oñate's spouse was a granddaughter of Montezuma, which goes back way back into Mexico history.
Yeah.
So they headed north, and they crossed the Salamayuca Desert, and they went like 2 or 3 days without food or water. So by the time they got to the Rio Grande River, they just rushed the water and tried to drink and so on. They had to stop them because when you're suffering from dehydration and you just start consuming a lot of water, it has bad effects.
Well, it killed a couple of horses, right?
Yeah, it did. And so what they did is they encamped on the south side of the river, which physically now would be the north side in San Elizario area, and they performed a La Toma and celebrated being there on the south side of the river, successfully making it that far. He sent a couple of his best swimmers upstream to follow the river to find a place where they could take that 5 to 7 mile long stretch of people and animals across, and they ended up at Hart's Mill. And that's where they crossed into what is now the United States.
What happened at that area, apparently, it had alluvial fen, as they say, and that was basically stuff washing off the Franklins,
mm-hmm.
and it made sort of like a rock path across the river right
shallow
there.
Shallow water, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how that worked out.
And at that particular time, there wasn't a whole lot of water in the river, although there was water. It wasn't like it was down in San Jose.
It hadn't quite hit the fan yet. It was late April.
No.
Is that
an alluvial fan? It hasn't quite hit the alluvial fan?
Whatever. That's where you're going. But the thing was that the big floods had not quite occurred yet coming down the river. Apparently, otherwise, they couldn't have made it across.
True.
So that's at Hart's Mill.
That's at Hart's Mill.
The Oñate Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
And that crossing is what became El Paso.
Yeah.
the pass across the river of the north.
El Paso del Norte.
Yeah, and that's how we got our name, and it wasn't so much that it was a pass through the mountains, people think it was. It was the path across the river. So that became one point on a map. You have this long Rio Grande River, and there's one point where they crossed.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got the name.
Yep.
So there.
That's it.
So that was Oñate and the boys, and they were, they had them. But see, the only people who got their names on the roster were the soldiers. They had slaves with them. They had women. None of those people got on the roster.
Yeah.
And we actually have the roster on our YouTube channel,
mm-hmm.
El Paso History TV on YouTube. If you want to go read it, we shot it off the wall of a museum that's now defunct up in the middle of New Mexico. The BLM put that up there for the Camino Real.
Another wise move by the government.
And another warehouse in the middle of nowhere. Goodness gracious. Thank you, U.S. government. But anyway, the point being is that that was a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if the BLM had just put that either in Albuquerque or El Paso, that museum would still be functioning.
You would think so.
I do think so.
Yeah. It only makes sense that you can see it from the highway.
Backing up further in the history of El Paso, you've got basically indigenous people, the Mansos, the Sumas, living along the river, minding their own business until the Apaches showed up to kill them, which was a regular event, apparently. They'd come out of the mountains of New Mexico, come down here and get what they need and go back up. And so that's what was going on when the Spaniards showed up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there was clans all along the river. It was a great place to be. That's what really created the opportunity at Keystone, going back many, many, many generations, is the fact that you're so close to the river, which meant food and water.
And that's where they put their Keystone pit houses.
Yes.
Right there on the edge. And one day in the 1970s, it rained big enough to take out one of those big hills in the edge of the Arroyo. And that's when they found the pit houses.
They found charred firecrack rocks, which led them to believe there had to be more to it. Because the pit houses were anywhere from 3 feet to 12 feet below the ground. And so once they found the shards, firecrack rocks, they brought in the folks from UTEP, and they did a lot of exploration, and they found approximately 40 or so foundations for the pit houses.
That's a lot of pit houses.
Yeah.
All right. Taking a break here. Come back, Bernie Sargent. We're going to be continuing backwards in El Paso history. See you in just a minute.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
There's nothing small about your business. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors are ready to give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions like computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak to an advisor today.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are high, and you can't win if you don't play. But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At Lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The Lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings anytime. In just two taps, you could win the next multi-million-dollar jackpot. Search for Lottery.com in the App Store or go to Lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play, and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by Lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
On the toughest jobs, you need clutch performance from your tools. You need clutch hand tools from Northern Tool. Built tough and backed by a lifetime guarantee, clutch hand tools perform under pressure.
Save up to 50% on a clutch 4-piece locking pliers set or a 3/8 drive quick release ratchet, now only $12.99.
Northern Tool has the right tool for any job. Northern Tool and Equipment. quality tools for serious work.
Want military-grade gear delivered directly to your doorstep? Join over 250,000 customers already geared up with Crate Club, the box built by Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force, and Special Ops guys. You'll receive seasonal tactical and survival gear essentials to be better prepared at home and on the road, and a digital subscription to our community. Products include backpacks, helmets, hammocks, holsters, vests, and more kick-ass gear. Get it for yourself or gift something unique this year. Rise above the ranks at CrateClub.com. That's CrateClub.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We've been trying to go to El Paso History in 2 hours going backwards. We had to skip a whole bunch of stuff, so we'll do this again someday coming forward. We've got a little bit left to go here, Bernie. We got back, as we're going backwards in history, to the Pueblo Revolt, you had all kinds of carretas and people going up the river. But prior to that, as we mentioned, there was only indigenous Indians here. And then they keep going way back. We talked about Keystone.
Mm-hmm.
And El Paso history does go considerably further back into history. It's amazing.
Well, the basin itself was a separation of the continent, North American continent. It went millions of years ago. And gradually the continent grew together and created the Rio Grande Basin.
And we had Mount Cristo Rey, and mm-hmm. that formed about 45 million years ago.
Yeah.
The dinosaur tracks that are on the edges of Cristo Rey were about 100 million years ago. Cristo Rey popped up in an old lake bed, and as it popped up, it pushed walls of the lake bed out into vertical mm-hmm. from horizontal. And so that's why they find fossils of dinosaur tracks on the sides of walls over at Cristo Rey. Isn't that bizarre?
They protrude instead of indent.
Yeah, the whole thing is just unusual. So mm-hmm. anyway, thank you, Bernie, for helping us get all the way back in history.
Hey, you're welcome.
Pepe's today, right?
Absolutely.
We can talk more history out there. Pepe!
Yay.
But also, if you don't forget Amigos. If you want to book your family, if you have like 20 people in town and you say, well, now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Take them all down there. Call them up and say, hey, I got 20 people.
It's close to
Central.
They got
room for you down there at Amigos.
Yeah.
2000 Montana. All right. You got something you wanted to read here.
Yeah, I just want to mention the Battle of the Bulge took place in 1944, just before the end of the World War II. And I know a lot of military from Fort Bliss were involved with it. But I just want to read something. Patton was also stationed here at Fort Bliss. And to his soldiers, tankers, he had written and passed out a little saying on Christmas Day. It said, to each officer and soldier in the 3rd United States Army, I wish you Merry Christmas. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, skill of battle. We march in our might to complete the victory. May God's blessings rest upon each of you on this Christmas Day. I just want to say to all of our military veterans, Merry Christmas to you.
And also our first responders. God
Absolutely.
Bless them all for what
Absolutely.
They do.
Merry Christmas.
And
yes.
Thank you all for what you do. Bernie Sargent, thank you for continuing to help El Paso history do what it does. And we'll continue keeping on these kind of little history moments. And we didn't quite get through everybody. We have immigrants. We didn't really get to all of them. There were all kinds of immigrants that came
European
through.
European immigrants.
And some people stayed here.
Asian,
some people went on.
Oh, yeah. We
Middle
can cover
Eastern.
That maybe in January, February time frame.
Another immigrant radio show.
Sure.
That'd be fun. All right. In the meantime, everybody else, we can see you on El Paso EPHistory.com and El Paso History TV.
That's right.
On YouTube. And what's that on Facebook?
El Paso History Radio Show.
And so we got stuff going on everywhere. Thank you all for listening. It's been fun. And thank you again in the control room, Checo Valenzuela and Shelly Sutherland, who also ducked out the door already.
Right. I think she did. And we can say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts tomorrow.
It's a big thing. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. We got a live show next week,
right.
As always. Thank you all for joining us. See you then. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to...